I told this in down in Kentucky, when I would get ready to preach, there in the bulletin we had this thing right before the sermon. It said, prayer for illumination. So every Sunday I'd get up there and I'd have a prayer before the sermon, just a prayer for illumination. There's a guy that was standing in the back and he shut all the lights off. Just saying. Prayer for illumination. Maybe we should pray for that right now. Lord, I ask that you use this time together with us to talk about light and what it means in our lives and the light that you give to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody seated? Shut them down. When the light goes out, it gets dark. And you can't see when it's dark. I want to begin, I want to tell you a story. You remember little Johnny and the bees, don't you? Some of you do, anyway. Little Johnny, during the summer, would go by this house, this old house, and sitting on the porch would be this woman, and she would rock up there, and then her husband, they'd probably been married 50, 60 years, and he would be working out in the yard and going around, and every so often, he would whistle. And Johnny was fascinated. He said, I wonder why he's doing that. And so one day he got his courage up and he went up to this guy. And he says, Mister, I want to know, why do you whistle? Just a little whistle every 30 seconds or so. And he said, you see that woman sitting up on the porch? Well, that's my wife. And she is blind. And her world is dark. And I whistle every so often to let her know that where I am, because she can hear me in the darkness. Are you listening? Tell you a true story. When I was 15, 16 years old, my parents took my brother and I down to St. Louis. I think we may have gone to a St. Louis Cardinal game or something. But one afternoon, they were doing something else, and they gave me the responsibility of taking my brother to one of these old theaters down in St. Louis. And have you ever been in one of those big theaters where they got balconies that run almost to the sky, and they have a big organ down in there that will come up out of the thing, and some guy will be playing it or something? Well, it was one of those theaters. And my brother and I, we said, well, let's go up in the balcony and sit in the balconies. And it was mid-afternoon, and when we went in there and we started climbing the stairs, it was very dark in the place, and you couldn't see anything. But we managed to get up there to the top of the theater in the balcony. The movie started, and it was the movie Sand Pebbles starring Steve McQueen. And I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but a few minutes after the movie started, these two drunk sailors came in, and they came up to the balcony as well. And they were drunk, boys and girls, they were drunk. And they were stumbling around out there because they'd come in from outside, and outside it was mid-afternoon, and they'd been drinking. And the one guy almost fell over the balcony, and as he was going over, he yelled at the top of his lungs, Jesus Christ, take my hand! And the other guy grabbed him and pulled him back. When he did that, and I was 16 years old, it seemed rather interesting that he would say, Jesus Christ, take my hand. And it stuck with me. And this was when I was in high school, and I was pretty much a heathen in terms of things, but it just struck me in terms of that. If you notice, they quit opening the door and shut the door. You know, there's a difference between being late and too late. But if you notice in here right now, one of the things that is happening is they keep opening the door. But you can begin to see people. If you take your candle, of course, you got to have a light, don't you? So somebody can come up here and take a light off of mine, and we'll pass it around. Watch what you... I'm shaky. Oh. Hold on.
Candle's not lit anymore, Zach.
I have a light. You can't see in the dark, can you? No. Okay, yeah, because I better have it back. Because this thing can get hot on me. Okay, just pass the light around a little bit. Yeah. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now you'll notice, this is real nice at Christmas Eve when we sing Silent Night to it and all that, and it's real nice, but as you light this thing up, even though we have candlelight, we're still not in bright light. I can look out here, and I can see you now. And actually, I can kind of see your face and everything, but any blemishes or anything, you can't really see them at this point in time because it's not full light of day in here. But we can see some things. One of the things that I've come up against in terms of churches, and I've been involved with a lot of churches over the years, usually in ministry, a lot of times I was taking the great banquet, but I've been around them. And there's a good percentage of churches that do what we do in this dark time like this. They become accustomed to the darkness. They think they are in the light, but actually they're in the dark. Lots of churches are like that. And when I say churches, I'm not talking about church buildings. I'm talking about people. They've grown accustomed to the darkness. They think they're sitting in the bright of day, but they're not sitting in the bright of day. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories. Now, just so you know, I'm a real boy. I was not conceived on a rock and hatched by the sun at the age of 30 into the ministry. There's a real boy in here. Now, about 30 years ago, you remember the Bud Light commercials where they would say, somebody said, "Give me a light." And then I said, no, Bud Light. Remember those commercials? Well, I think that I should have been able to go out there and make lots of money giving them ideas. How about this one? Moses is climbing that mountain, and man, he is hot and tired and sweaty, and he's getting near the top of the mountain, and he gets up there, and he says, "Boy, I could sure use a drink and a light, because it's dark." And about that time, there's this bush that's burning, and the bush flares. And God says, "How about a bush light?" And Moses says, no, Bud Light. Or how about this one? Morgan Freeman is playing God, and he's in heaven and it's real dark and musty kind of looking, and all the heavenly hosts are in there, and he says, "Let there be light." And there's an explosion of light. And all the angels are there. They're going, no, Bud Light. At which point God says, "Okay." And they all have rosebuds in their hand. I don't know. I thought it would sell. I'm not sure, you know. And I wish I had an opportunity. Anyway. Let there be light. You can blow them out now. We're going to have a, I want us to read together Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and then I want to tell you a third story that's actually true. So if you put that up there. You got it in your bulletin too. Here, let's read it together. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. True story. And this was about 30 years ago, at least 30. No, it's probably 40 years ago almost. I was in a singing group down in Kentucky, and we used to go around to churches, and we would help them in terms of worship occasionally and put on programs and stuff. And we were at a Cumberland Presbyterian Church down in Madisonville, Kentucky, and they were having a revival, so they invited us to come and sing and be there. And so the preacher gets up, and he uses this particular scripture as the message lead-in. Well, when I was listening to it, now my mind's strange. It'll take a right turn now and then, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this, and all these Bud Light commercials ran through my head, and I can just see Jesus standing up there, and he says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And all the disciples go, no, Bud Light. I think it's funny, actually. Anyway, when that went through my mind, I was gone. I was no longer with the preacher or anything yet. And I also said, you know, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And after the disciples say, no, Bud Light. And he looks at him with consternation, sometimes the way I look at you, or you look at me. And they say, yoke's on you. I don't know. I think it'll work, don't you? Let's make it pay off the church. Anyway, when I was down there, and after my mind went off to the side of the road for a while, I got to thinking about the scripture. Now, Jesus, obviously, when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's talking about weight at that point in time, how much weight his burden is. But I thought about it, and I said, my burden is light. And I thought about us as God's people. And I do believe that our burden is the light. Put up John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. He is the light of the world. If we carry him, then we're carrying the light. My burden is light. Put up Genesis chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3. And let's read this together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you put up verse 2 again. You know, when you look at this, one of the things that I learned about myself a long time ago is we are created without light. I did not have the light of God in me when I was born. I had to learn about who Jesus was, but that's just learning about it. But you know what? I was like this scripture. Jack was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of Jack. In other words, I was living in the darkness. I didn't know I was living in the darkness, but a lot of things that I understood about life really were kind of chaotic and, well, without meaning. Until I met Jesus. And I received him as my Savior, and I began that journey of making him Lord of my life. And but before that time, my life was really kind of void, full of darkness. I didn't really understand about the meaning of life or anything else. And the truth of the matter is, all of us are like that when we are without Jesus and the light of God in us. We are darkness. And I know that. In other words, we're basically BC people, before Christ. And it's not till we know him that then we begin that journey with that light inside of us. And I know this is a truth, and it is the way we are. And we need to always remember that about ourselves, where we've been, where we are right now, and where people are in this world. Move to verse 4. Here we go. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. As I said, we are created without light in us, but at some point in time, the darkness is filled with the light of Christ in our lives. We actually move from B.C. to A.D., you might say. But after that happens, what begins to happen inside of us, as we begin that journey of carrying the light of Christ in us, what happens is discernment and separation, just like these verses in Genesis, when God separated the night and the day. There was separation that takes place. There's a difference between night and day. There's a difference between darkness and light. And we begin to see that, and we understand that separation, and we begin to understand the difference. We have discernment. We can see, begin to observe. It's not judgment so much. We begin to observe this truth. There is light, and there is darkness in this world. There is sin, and there is righteousness in this world. There is right and there is wrong in this world. There's night and day. There is very much. There is evil in this world and there is good in this world. And there is a separation and we begin to discern the difference. Just like in the Genesis where he said, and we are going to separate this, and one we're going to call day, and one we're going to call night. One thing we're going to call good, and another thing we're going to call evil. But it doesn't happen until the light comes into us. Do you know that not all people on this earth are children of God? I understand that the world wants to tell us this, that all God's children. Well, they're not all children. We are all created. We're all created as creatures of this world. We are God's creation, but we are not all children. You do not become a child of God until you know who Jesus is. That's when it talks about us being children. When we become children, there's a separation between the spiritually dead and the spiritually alive. And there is a separation, and you can begin to see the difference in people. Put up John chapter 1, please. It's the same picture as in Genesis, but I want you to read it with me. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus brings eternal life. He brings life to us in terms of things, and he is the light of men, the light of people. And it's the same picture. Before we know who Jesus is, we live in darkness. That's where we are. But then when Jesus comes into us, we sort of light up by the Spirit of God. And what happens then, the creature becomes a child. And when that happens, we begin to walk that. And just like in the Genesis, we begin to understand the difference between darkness and light in this world. We begin to understand it. And we begin to separate it. And we know the difference. That's the burden that we carry, folks. We know the difference between good and evil. We know the difference between sin and righteousness. We know the difference. And it is a burden that we carry as God's children. And that burden is light itself. We also carry with us the burden of judgment, because light causes things to be judged. Put up John 3:16 and 17. You have probably all heard this one before. You've seen it behind the catcher on baseball games a lot of times. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now keep that up there for just a second. Now, we all know this one, don't we? And everybody cheers. Yay for God. God so loved us that he sent his Son into the world. But if you notice, the judgment comes in us. It's the judgment you make. You know, you either say, Jesus is the Son of God, he is my Savior, or you say, I don't need that crap. And you blow it off. And guess what? Your judgment is what condemns you, not Jesus. He didn't come to condemn. He came to bring the light into the world. That's what he does. And we all cheer about that. Put up verses 18 through 21. Here's what happens here. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than life because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. Now, what you see in this thing is that the burden of judgment falls upon people, not on us. If we carry the light in us, and we are around those who are living in darkness, and choose to live in darkness, some do, but people will attack the light because they don't like the light, because the light exposes things in terms of light. So people don't like the light. There are people out there who do not like the light because their deeds are evil. Now, evil has several definitions, but it's evil. You see, people who are involved in sin, that is the dark things of life, I've seen this happen. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I see it happen every so often. People go away from the light, from the church. They leave the church. And a lot of times, the reason that they do is because they want to move away from the light because they are doing evil things. And I've seen it happen I don't know how many times. You know, somebody gets involved in something that's just classic sin, adultery, or things like that. And you know what they do? I'm not coming to church. I'm not going to get near that light because you know what? That would be a judgment, and I don't want that judgment because I like the things I'm doing. And they move away. If you carry the light inside of you, you know, I know this for myself, that over the years, when somebody does not like who Jesus is, does not like the light, they attack me. They do it. And the reason they do it is they don't like the light around them. And if you carry that light, you may have experienced it as well. They don't like you because they don't want to be exposed to that light. They have already decided they're not going to do it. And so they hide from you or they attack you. And the reason is, light brings judgment by its very presence. That's why I can walk into a life situation, and if it's not a good one, and there's sin going on in a real way, people do not want me around because I bring judgment by my very presence. I don't have to judge anybody. Light does it. We know that. That's why the burden that we carry, if we carry the light of Jesus in us, the burden is the light that we carry. Put up 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Let's read it together. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The burden is light. The light we carry brings judgment. The light we carry brings discernment. The light we carry brings separation from darkness and light. The light we carry brings us from chaos into light, from chaos to order, from darkness into light. And the burden is light. Now, I can walk into a situation. You can too. And basically, when you walk into a situation, your presence says, let there be light. That's your burden. And if there's darkness there and sin there, it scatters or it attacks. You see, the light really does exposes things. It'll expose deception or sin. It'll expose meanness in people. It will bring judgment. And all it does is show up. Because light is judgment. And if you carry that light, if you carry that burden, you can expect this. Now, the thing I also know, part of the burden of light is it not only pushes some people into the darkness or tries to put it out, but it also draws some people as well. The light, some people are looking for the light. Put up Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Here we go. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Part of the burden of light that we carry has to do with drawing others out of the darkness into the light. So we have a two or three fold kind of way in which we do it. So when I heard that scripture, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It spoke to me about the light that we carry in terms of who Jesus is. How are you going to carry it? How are you going to carry that burden? Or are you going to be like a, hide it under a bushel? How are you going to carry it? The burden of light. Let's pray. Lord, in this world, there is an awful lot of darkness that goes around. Sometimes we have a tendency to put our light under a bushel. Sometimes we have a tendency not to live in the light. But you call us to be in the light and to carry your light in us. Lord, help us to be that light. In Jesus' name, amen.